Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Okay, we have one more from University of West Florida, and that is Mr. Adam Kissel.
Last week we had board meetings in Pensacola, and I spent two full days in Pensacola ahead of time getting to know the faculty, the cabinet, the president, and I met with all six of the deans, the five major deans, plus the dean of our Fort Walton campus out in Fort Walton, Fort Walton Beach. My meeting with the faculty members over lunch on the first day went so well that we all agreed I should keep coming to meet with more and more of the faculty members of UWF every time I'm in Pensacola, which will probably be 4 to 6 times a year.
Yeah, Adam Kissel, this is I'm a little bit loud there, brother. There you go. Adam Kissel, this is speaking in front of the Tallahassee Senate, the Florida Senate, talking to the Higher Education Appropriations Committee of Senator Gay Harrell. She is the chair of the committee. Introducing him, and then of course he's one of the controversial board members. There's really the main controversy is over Scott Yenner, name you've heard a million times at this point. If you haven't, that's okay, that's why we're here, you know, catch you up. Adam Kissel has been also in the sort of controversy target because of some comments that he made related to the GI Bill and also related to privatizing higher education. We'll get to all that in just a minute. Then you have the other three that the governor has put up, and then the three that the Board of Governors has put up, which constitute, you know, this 8-person voting block that made Scott Yenner the chair. And has they, you know, some of them were available for nomination last week and some of them were not. Scott Yenner was not, but Adam Kissel was. And he came here, he met with all the deans. He's going to, you know, come back several times. He says 4 to 6 times a year, which of course is not the same as living here, but he is planning to come back multiple times. And, you know, he had very good things to say about UWF and what he wants to do to help it be better.
Now, the University of West Florida is growing like the state of Florida, which is terrific. And we've been one of Florida's stronger public institutions when you look at our KPIs, our performance-based funding criteria.
Key We're doing performance
pretty
well indicators.
Under our current president. We have a number of strengths to build on, and so in terms of goals, I'll just name a few of the things that I've been looking at so far. I've received a lot of positive feedback from faculty as well as senior leadership when I discussed the possibility of elevating our very good honors program into an honors college. That's something we might be able to do. I've introduced our interim business dean to a foundation as we consider how to further develop our Emerald Coast campus, which serves a lot of veterans, has strong relationships with Eglin Air Force Base and with Hurlburt, as well as we have great relationships also with the Naval Air Station in Pensacola. And we're talking about how to integrate civics into the Center for Leadership.
I mean, those are all good things. And as he acknowledges, UWF is strong, working to improve it. He's already, in like the one time he's been here, already brought some things to the table in terms of possible improvements, growth, expansion. Again, all good things. He worked for a long time with the FIRE, which is an organization devoted to academic freedom and freedom of expression. He wants to get UWF FIRE certified as being a place, you know, where people can feel free to speak their mind. He wants to improve the graduation rate.
President Saunders has said that every UWF student should have access to a scholarship, but also it's important to know that every UWF student should have the expectation of graduating in a reasonable time. We have many universities across the system with a lower than 50% graduation rate, and especially for an appropriations committee to think about the amount of resources we're spending the state of Florida on people who are graduating with debt but no degree.
Amen. I mean, I've always thought this. In fact, I just, you know, I mention it only because it's kind of the position I've always had is I think the funding model for higher education is completely wrong. I don't think you should pay for an education up front. I think instead, if a university thinks that you're a good bet, they should basically enroll you in exchange for, I don't know, 10 years of some slice of your income, 10% of your income. So, you know, find a funding model that, you know, kind of would generally match, okay? But that you get, you know, they get paid because you perform well after they've given you what they say is an economically worthwhile educational experience. And if it doesn't pay off for you, then it shouldn't pay off for them. And if it does pay off for you, it should pay off for them. You know, that That's how I think of it. But, you know, that's not how it's going. But it may, I mean, who knows whether that's something we could do. But, yeah, improving the graduation rate, making sure that people don't leave with no degree but do have debt. That's obviously a lose for every, well, it's not a lose for the university. That's probably why they have it that way. Okay, so two big questions when it comes to Adam Kissel. And it really has nothing to do with his expertise, his knowledge. I think he's a very, very capable, you know, from a knowledge perspective. He's not from here, okay? That's true. But in terms of other than that, he's extremely capable. But he's said two things in the past that were controversial. I'll explain that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but we're dealing with a traffic light that's out at Main Street and Wright over at the gas station there. So just be aware of that. That's going to cause some delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Adam Kissel, one of the you know, the governor's, one of the governor's picks to be on the board at UWF, has said two things in the past that were controversial. They're not controversial in the, like, ethical, offensive, you know, sort of way that some of Scott Yenner's comments have been taken, but in a different way. This is Senator Gail Harrell.
I know you've written several papers, and I've read them, concerning the privatization and your belief that all public, that public institutions, public colleges, and public universities should be privatized, and that actually you have said that that is one of the best means to do this, and the money that could be saved, Texas could save 126 billion per year if they stopped subsidizing higher education.
And so, which is, you know, for being the member of a board of trustees for a public university, that is, you know, what do you really think about this?
Should we, as an appropriations committee, stop funding state universities, University of West Florida in particular?
The answer is no. I think I only did publish one piece on this topic, but maybe I've forgotten about others. But the piece that you're referring to used as its example shrinking, troubled, small university in West Virginia. The kind of university that should be considered for privatization is one that's in a situation like that. I know of no such university in the whole state of Florida that is like that. UWF is growing. State of Florida is growing. I would say that probably more resources rather than fewer should be going to a growing university like University of West Florida.
So as a general principle, no. But for failing or underperforming schools, yeah, in a way to save the money. And even talked about things like figuring out a way to, instead of funding them every year, maybe use some kind of a bond issue or something. But it was, you know, create something that would give them ongoing funding on the basis of how many students they have enrolled, so it would rise or shrink on the basis of that. But no, he doesn't believe in all eliminating, or at least, you know, he didn't write that. And as he said, even UWF should probably get more because it's a good investment. The other sort of controversial comment had to do with the GI Bill in the past.
Okay, another question I do have is concerning your statements on the military and what the role of the GI Bill is. And I believe that you have stated that that one of the worst mistakes made was the passage of the GI Bill and the funding of education for people coming out of the military. How does that comport with the institution you've been nominated, you've been appointed to, who sits in one of the largest military areas? There are five installations there. How does that comport with that?
Thank you for your question, Senator. The words that you read are not the words that I wrote,
which is an important thing to note, but he goes on at great length.
What I wrote was that universities have a significant overpopulation problem in general. We do a great job with access. Across the 20th century, we did a fantastic job with access. That comes at a great humanitarian cost. The cost is that we have tens of millions of students in this country with debt but no degree. We have 45 million borrowers. It's doing a disservice to people to say you should come to our institution and we don't think you're going to graduate, but we'll take your tuition money anyway.
And remember, the incentive structure for universities is to get as many people in the door paying as much tuition as possible, rather than we get paid when you succeed and only when you succeed, which would be kind of the funding model I'm recommending. And I couldn't agree more. We have had a massive inflation in the cost of higher education, primarily because we have done everything we can to get people into higher education and then to, you know, promote the funding of it through easy loans, which then they have to pay back later. That's true of both the GI Bill and also of every other form of funding and borrowing that comes to people. Not everybody should go to college. Not everybody should go to the university. I mean, period. But it's been sold as this dream for all, and it's an appropriate training mechanism for many, but not all. In fact, a lot of times it's more appropriate for somebody to go to a, you know, vocational or training school. You'll do better, be happier, and make more money. Like, you know, the problem is for so long, and there's a lot of things outside of either vocational technical training schools and or higher education, you know, university, that would be more appropriate for a lot of people. Look, we have for a long time in this country sold people on the idea that go to college. And as a result, we have driven more people into that than should have been. We have put a higher demand on that, which led to inflation of the price. And we have a lot of people with big loans that they can't pay off because either they didn't get degrees or they got degrees that are not able to make them enough money to spin off enough extra to pay off the loan and really profit them. These are all problems. And he's talking about that honestly. And look, the GI Bill, to some degree, was a part of that historically.
Now, I think that veterans have a greater chance of graduating than others. So I think the overpopulation of colleges in general, not just one or two, but across the country, is something that appropriations committees should look at. And I think it was smart to hear that an attention on workforce into the state college system might be where a lot of people are better suited. But my comment about the 1940s doesn't apply to my thoughts about veterans today whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, that what might have been a criticism of the GI Bill, which I have made and which other people have made, is that it was too much. You know, putting all of these returning veterans from World War II into college rather than workforce may not have been the best solution. Now, we had all kinds of structural situations, like, you know, so many women have been drawn into the workforce because so many men have been drawn off to war, that if you just throw men back in, I mean, that can create tumult and chaos. And so you have this decision made, let's make it available. But, you know, it's not a slam dunk obvious thing. If you really think through the implications of what happened when the GI Bill went in and what's happened since, it's had many good things and it has had many problems as well. And it has certainly been part of the oversupply or the over demand on higher education.
I don't know how to say this the right way, but my father is a veteran. My grandfather is a veteran. My best friend in the world is a veteran. I appreciate all of the work that we are doing at UWF with veterans. That's just not a concern to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an issue. So you had this, you know, conversation about the two big things for him. It also, you know, Senator Tracy Davis talked about him in connection with the Project 25 because he's a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And he says, I didn't write it. I agree with the education chapter, but that's the only one I really know. I've read some of the stuff in the education. I haven't read the whole thing. It's like 50 pages. You know, I think I agree with a lot of what's in there, too. There's nothing to me that's all that surprising in there. The only other question that's come up really as a substantial argument is that he's part of a grand scheme to take over UWF a la New College. And I thought that his answer on this was actually really good. Carlos Guillermo Smith, who's one of the two Democrats on the panel.
At New College of Florida, which, you know, is also a public university, if you'd like to see a similar takeover, if you will, at UWF and perhaps what things are happening at New College, what changes are happening there that you would also like to implement at UWF?
You're recognized.
Thanks for that question. I appreciate it. What I think really helped the faculty members I spoke with on campus not feel that fear was to say, we're not New College. We're not UMass Amherst. We're not the New England schools. We're University of West Florida. And we have our own things to build on and our own things to look at. We're just our own animal. We're our own institution.
So there was more on this. Judy Bench showed up and talked. I'll play that for you next hour. There was a really good conversation about whether he should or should not, or whether other board members should or should not be confirmed. He was ultimately not confirmed on a 1-6 vote. Okay, or 1-5. I forget. One person only voted for him, and that was Senator Burgess. I actually, of the ones I have looked at, I think Adam Kissel would be a great advantage. He's a very capable person, even though he's not from here. He's already, the other board members acknowledged this in the meetings. I told you this before. The other board members were impressed with him. But the problem is he comes in as part of this eight-person, buyout, hostile takeover. They all voted for Scott Yenner, which is problematic. And even they're not all being put up for real confirmation. So I get the argument that he's part of a problem generally. I get. But if there were, let's say, seven other uncontroversial candidates who were from here and capable and knowledgeable and connected to the community, and also, hey, we think Adam Kissel is great, I'd be like, yeah. That's how I think of him, okay? And also, I thought he answered the only two real objections to him very capably. And so, I take his answers sincerely. 625 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. The other three were confirmed. Five to two. And then he was disconfirmed on a 1-6 vote. That's going to go in front of the Senate Elections and Ethics Committee, second committee to handle this. So we'll see what happens. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident that just happened with injuries in Rio Blanco Mobile Highway in West 9 Mile Road. First responders are on their way. They're not there yet, but I'm seeing some delays on 9 Mile. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Jimmy Patronis is a Republican Florida congressional candidate and the Florida's chief financial officer, and he joins me now. Donald Trump has endorsed you. He says Jimmy Patronis has done a tremendous job as CFO. Patronis has my complete and total endorsement. Run, Jimmy, run, he said.
That's my plan. Look, I'm born and raised in the Panhandle. I love this part of the state, but we've got an open border policy that's got to be closed. We will close that. We have got to restore our confidence in our military and give them the support that they deserve. We will do that with the Trump administration.
He said, run, Jimmy, run, and you said, yes, sir. We'll see how it all plays out.
It's been a wild ride these past few weeks. I've met so many great people, and with your support, I'll be the voice in Washington fighting for you, putting America first every single day. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support on April 1st. Paid for by Friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2nd, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at PensacolaSanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Point.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace.
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Florida would have to give them something, like a flagrant foul on a three or something.
Williams intercepted. The Gators are going to the Final Four.
Izzo just told his team, don't foul. And that's it. The storybook season continues for Auburn. The Tigers are going to the Final Four. It will be all chalk on the Riverwalk.
I don't have any idea what that means. John, do you understand what that means?
No, I was trying to figure that out.
He must have meant that it's all the number one seeds have advanced, but I've never heard that expression, that the number one seeds are all chalk. But maybe it's me, Things you don't know, you don't know. 629 here on News Radio 92.3. Congratulations to Auburn War Eagle and Florida. Go Gators. And not as much to Alabama. Sorry. Duke advances, and not as much to Tennessee as Houston. those games are not fun to watch, especially if your Vols are Tide fans. Let's see. David is out again today. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
Billionaire Elon Musk gave out two $1 million checks to two attendees at a town hall in Green Bay yesterday. Musk's political action committee organized the event for people who signed a petition against what he calls activist judges. Musk and his group are backing Republican Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel ahead of tomorrow's critical Wisconsin Supreme Court election, which he called gigantic. President Trump says he's not joking about serving for a potential third term. During a phone call with NBC News, he was asked about joking multiple times about serving three times, to which he replied that was not a joke. And he's also claiming he has the highest poll numbers of any Republican in the last 100 years. He also says this coming Wednesday will be the Liberation Day as new tariffs are going to take effect. He's calling that day Liberation Day, claiming the tariffs against Canada, Mexico, China, and the European Union will undo decades of those powers, quote, taking advantage of the U.S. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Steve. A lot of people are rushing to buy cars before Wednesday because after Wednesday, the price may go up on everything. Also, this issue of being president again, he cannot be elected president again. But if you read both the 22nd and the 12th Amendment, it's entirely within the Constitution that, you know, two other people could run, then resign after having picked him to be vice president. It's possible with the confirmation of the Senate and the House. Possible.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump calls Wednesday Liberation Day, April 2nd, when his reciprocal tariffs take effect on imports from countries that charge more for American imports.
The tariffs will be far more generous than those countries were to us, meaning they will be kinder than those countries were to the United States of America over the decades.
He also tells reporters he doesn't want to talk about exploring ways to serve a third term right now, something he'd earlier said he was not joking about. Elon Musk in Green Bay, Wisconsin, awards $1 million checks to two voters at a rally for a conservative Supreme Court candidate. There's an election tomorrow.
Just if the people that voted for President Trump simply vote on Tuesday, we will win. That's actually all it takes. Just vote. Boom. Done. Victory.
The election will decide if the court has more judges considered conservative or liberal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31, 71 degrees right now and cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Streets were flooded as heavy rain poured down in parts of northwest Florida yesterday, which led to a flash flood warning. Some travelers were stuck in their vehicles as the vehicles became submerged in the floodwaters. Preliminary reports of storm damage include a tree falling on a backyard shed and water as it made its way down the stairs at Dillard's, flooding the shoe department. A strong front is now on the move, heading in our direction, and it'll bring the chance of some strong thunderstorms again. We're under a severe thunderstorm watch until 1 p.m. today. On Saturday, the annual Emerald Coast Electrathon took place at Five Flags Speedway, thrilling audiences with the sight of 44 cars racing around the track. Competitors hailing from Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Georgia, and Texas, predominantly high school clubs, spent months constructing their single-passenger electric vehicles. Isabella Burkhart with FPL Evolution and Pensacola High School Team Phoenix driver with Vic Goda both told Channel 3.
We hope that it inspires their passion and future careers in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, but also they're learning soft skills like how to be a leader, a collaborator, a problem solver, and an innovator.
One of the biggest skills I learned was teamwork. Without teamwork, you will not get anything built. You will not get anything done. So one of the biggest things I learned was the amount of skills I got.
Saturday's event featured two races, each lasting an hour, with the winner determined by the most laps completed. Success hinges on a combination of vehicle design, driving strategy, and innovation. Voters in Florida's 1st Congressional District will head to the polls tomorrow to elect a new representative to replace Matt Gaetz, who resigned last year. The race pits Democrat Gay Valamont against Republican Jimmy Patronis. Florida's 1st District is one of the most Republican-leaning in the country, and Trump carried the district by over 35 points in 2024. In the same race, Valamont received 34% of the vote when she ran for the seat against Gaetz. Gaetz resigned from Congress after being nominated by Trump to be his new attorney general, and he withdrew from consideration and stepped out from Congress as the House Ethics Committee was going to release a report on his conduct. Vegas likes the University of Florida men's basketball team to advance to the national championship game. The Gators are going to play Auburn University in the Final Four on Saturday in San Antonio. University of Florida is favored by 2.5 points. The teams met once during the regular season, February 8th in Auburn. The Gators won 90-81. Saturday's tip is set for 6:09 Eastern. Well, let's go check the forecast for Channel 3.
Severe storms possible ahead of a strong cold front that will be trekking across northwest Florida as we head into our morning and the early afternoon. Damaging wind gusts will be our primary threat. The tornado risk is low, but not zero. Be sure you're staying weather aware all the way through the early afternoon hours. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell, your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
And right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. We've got still dealing with that one accident on Mobile Highway in West 9 Mile Road. It has roadblock with it. First responders are now on the scene trying to take care of that. And also we've got a traffic light at Bayfront and Chase Street is blinking yellow. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 71 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 71 in Milton at 6:35. Next news is 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
The first years of school are crucial for your child's development. At Pensacola Christian Academy, students thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation for your child. Kindergartners become confident readers, grow fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to The Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, celebrating Easter at Great Southern, Fish House, Beer Fest tickets, and Jackson's Spring Menu Rollout, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Fort Cancer event benefiting the American Cancer Society at Suposi Event Center is Friday evening. Enjoy the food, cocktails, live entertainment, and exciting auctions. See ForkCancerPensacola.org for event details. The 15th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday, benefiting the Escambia County Public Schools Foundation in downtown Pensacola. Please see visitpensacola.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Trey Yingst in Kyiv.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We have a lot of responsibilities in the county that challenge us every time we sit up here. And the thing is, to give $2 million out of the general fund is just not responsible to me. If we can help Baptists in a way with tipping fees, maybe, Wes, but what I'm being told by you and Don, that's a no-go. Is that true?
There's no way to extract $2 million from our general fund and not have an impact to the potential for employee raises as well as discussions about collective bargaining. $2 million out of general fund is a lot different than $2 million out of local option sales tax fund.
So remember how we talked about this last week, that the Board of County Commissioners was suddenly having heartburn over the what we all thought had been a promised $2 million contribution to the demolition of Baptist Hospital, a project that's now got bids in and we're, you know, it looks pretty good like we can actually afford it. And, you know, the board basically last week said, I don't know about $2 million from general revenues. We talked about whether tipping fees at the landfill could be paid back somehow or other because, you know, the issue is that there's going to be a lot of that debris is going to go to the landfill, and so the county's going to make a lot of money because they own the landfill. You had the mayor get asked about this at his press conference last week, and his comment was,
if it's not going to be that the county feels that this is a benefit enough to invest $2 million into a monumental, multi-generational project, if they don't feel that way, I certainly have to respect that decision. But what I would request is that the county government not be the only government involved in this that profits from the project.
But at least if you're not going to help, at least don't make a profit on the fact that we're forced to use your services to deposit the debris. Okay, all of that we covered, okay? And then Mike Kohler was on Channel 3 on, when was this? Wednesday or Thursday, and he made this comment. Because the meeting was on Tuesday, and the press conference was on Tuesday, and then we talked to the mayor on Wednesday. And then on Thursday,
I talked to county administrator today. The county never committed that $2 million, ever. Where the $2 million came from, I think that was just a number floated maybe by the city, but there's never been any formal agreement or discussion on that number at the board.
True or not true? How did we all form the idea that there was $2 million coming from the county? Did we all collectively imagine it? Was this, what's the collective memory mistake that they talk about where we all think that, you know, who was the president of South Africa, Mandela effect or whatever it is, you know, is that what they call it? Okay. I bring you to the Board of County Commissioners meeting March 22nd of 2024. Okay. Alex Smith, at the time, the chief of staff because he wasn't the city administrator, for D.C. Reeves, the mayor, talking to the Board of County Commissioners about Baptist demolition item that was on the agenda for that day.
So just an update from the state legislature. So the legislature passed the budget last Friday or two Fridays ago with $7 million from the state for the property. So with that, we have $7 million from the state, the $2.9 million from the sale of Paces. The tax credit goes through a $3 million commitment from Baptist and a $1 million commitment from the city. So that's kind of where the funding stands. And I know, Commissioner May, we appreciate you being able to come on the tour of New Orleans, you know, to kind of get a vision for what we hope can happen at the Baptist campus, you know, going forward. So, you know, appreciate any support. You know, I know the mayor's asked $2 million from the county. So looking forward to the discussion and answering any questions y'all have.
14 from other sources plus 2 from the county makes 16 altogether. Remember what Mike said.
I talked to county administrator today. The county never committed that $2 million.
Okay. All right. Mike Kohler, March 22nd, 2024.
I do think that this could be a good program, but I do believe that the county should be the first to get the money back if it is under $16 million. I think that's right. We don't know the actual cost for the demolition, right?
That's correct. It has not been formally submitted for bid yet.
And Mike, I will tell you, a lot of people committed that it has all be demoed. That's not my position. I mean, I think there could be some reuse of some of the facilities that are there, in my opinion.
So Lumen, who has many times said that he wishes something else could be done, okay? And Mike Kohler there said he was in favor of the plan put forward by Alex Smith for the $2 million. It'll get clearer in a second. Stephen Barry. Let's see. Oh, hold on. I'm in the wrong part of this clip. Here we go.
It's a discussion item. It doesn't necessarily have an ask. What's the intent of the board or what's the will, the wishes?
And just for context, only 3 people were at this meeting. We did not have a member of the board from District 4. And for whatever reason, this would have been March of last year. That's Jeff Bragosh was not there. So there was just Lumen May, Stephen Barry, and Mike Kohler.
Mr. Chairman,
I
would move to allow the attorney and the administrator to work out the details with the mayor's office and to, you know, bring it back for final ratification by this board.
For us allocating $2 million towards it?
Correct.
Okay.
So Lumen May motions to have the county administrator work with the city to come back with a proposal to fully ratify $2 million. Okay. So Lumen has said $2 million. Stephen Barry, we don't know yet. He said that then, you know.
We can bring that back with more clarification, but at least we're moving forward with the project.
So conceptually allocating $2 million towards it, conditions of the actual
That would be my thought.
Back. Okay.
Yeah, so with actual details to come back, but conceptually we're on board with $2 million. That's Stephen Barry and Lumen May so far, and then Lumen says...
I would certainly move, Mr. Chairman, to give staff a chance to work with Mark and DC and Alex to bring back something that we could ratify that all of you could feel comfortable with.
So let's move it, and then also he wants...
My big incentive for supporting, the caveat and the condition is going to be some type of health care. It has existed. The healthcare for the African American community has existed over there for almost 50 or 60 years.
So Lumen wants healthcare on that property as part of the deal. Okay, that's fair. He's put an asterisk on it. Mike Kohler.
But I do think we have to have some protections if it goes over for the county.
All right. Commissioner, is that a second to Commissioner Ray's motion? All right. Please vote. Item passes 3-0.
So Lumen May proposed giving $2 million. Mike Kohler seconded the motion. He has concerns about if the cost comes in cheaper, we want to get our money back first. Like, we want to be the last, last in, first out kind of thing. If it comes back at, $15 million, we want $1 million back, is what he's saying. And then Lumen, Stephen Barry, and Mike Kohler all voted yes for $2 million to give to the project with... It's going to come back to us for final ratification, and I don't think that ever happened. So the formal vote to approve, I think they're right. I don't know why that didn't happen. It's been a year. That's weird. I don't think. I'm like 90% sure that never happened, but I could be wrong. I definitely know they said yes in theory, yes in principle, yes, we're willing, yes, we have the money, we can do it. And so when I heard, and again, I'm only picking on Mike because he did the interview, but I mean— I'm sorry, this is, to my ears, this is false.
I talked to county administrator today. The county never committed that $2 million, ever. Where the $2 million came from, I think that was just a number floated maybe by the city, but there's never been any formal agreement or discussion on that number at the board.
Now, it's true there's been no formal agreement, but there's most definitely been formal discussion, or unless he means formal discussion with the details. Okay, fine. I don't know whether he doesn't remember the march or he just was trying to very carefully parse the words around the march meeting. But we didn't all collectively imagine it. So when the PNJ article says backtracking, I think that's the word that Jim Little used. I apologize if I'm misquoting him, but that was the implication. It's backtracking. It is clearly backtracking at this point. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still dealing with that accident on Mobile Highway in West 9 Mile Road. I'm seeing some backup starting to happen on Mobile Highway eastbound, so just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Seeing some minor delays on 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge through Windhaven Beach. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, got a text in. Somebody says we were talking earlier about higher education and funding models. And one of the kind of, odd Andrew McKay ideas that I've had for years is I think college should be paid not the way it's paid right now. Like right now, you decide to go. If they accept you, you decide your major. And then, some are maybe particular, but, you go where you want to go and then you pay them your money up front. Okay, or you agree to pay it, you get a loan, whatever, you buy the thing, buy the service, and then, later on you pay back the loan. I think that's a terrible model. I think that instead what ought to happen is something like the following. Obviously, a lot of the details matter here, but something like this. Let's take not UWF because they were kind of in the conversation, but let's take UWF, that's fine. Okay, so UWF, you're thinking about enrolling as a nurse. Great, great nursing program, right? You're thinking about enrolling as a nurse. UWF, you take your tests, and UWF says, okay, we think you'll make a good nurse, and we think that you'll finish the program, and we'll think you'll get hired. So they take you in, You go to school, you get your certificate, whatever level of nursing you're going to get, you go out in the workplace and you make money. That's when they should start getting paid. You should be an investment. And if you make $70,000, $80,000 a year, you know, just could be anything. There's a lot of different nursing incomes, $100,000 a year. Depends on what your specialty is. They should get a slice of that every year for, let's say, the first 10 years of your employment. Or maybe for, the whole time you work, 10% of your income. Their pay should be a slice of what they helped you to earn, what they trained you for, that you paid off as a bet. And if you don't get a job as a nurse, they don't get any money. And that's how I think it ought to work. Then it would put the obligation on them to think about you as an investment. Because financially now they suffer or benefit from your success. Instead of the current model where they get money from you no matter what. You take all the risk. Or the lender takes all the risk. But they don't take the risk. It's a crazy model. And somebody texts in and says, what if students, if the students only pay after they're graduating and making money, wouldn't everyone enroll in the medical school or law school? It would be up to the institution to identify whether they think you're a good lawyer risk or a good doctor bet, or whether you're a better architect bet or a better philosopher bet. Right? Now, I don't think this formula is perfect. There are a lot of things that it would apply better or worse to. Maybe liberal arts should be more subsidized because liberal arts doesn't pay off as well. But then again, a lot of people shouldn't be going to liberal arts because, doesn't really benefit the society. Maybe yes, maybe no. And I'm a liberal arts guy, right? So I can say this. But one of the other parts of this, there's a different way to think about it, which is maybe what they do is they give you a test, a battery of tests in the beginning, and they identify that we think your average income without us is going to be $45,000 a year. And we think that your average income with us is going to be $95,000 a year. So we think we can make $50,000 a year improvement on you. Maybe the mark shouldn't be percent of your overall income. Maybe the mark should be percent of the likely increase or percent of the increase. It could be you could set it at graduation, or you could just, say, look, we're going to spin off 50% of your increased revenue. There's a lot of ways you could make the model formula work. But that's how I think education ought to be funded, I always have to wonder if a university of higher learning doesn't want to fund education that way. Why? Why? Because if they really believe that you're going to make more money as a graduate, they should be excited about getting a slice of that increased income. And of course, the reason they wouldn't want to is what? Well, it's a different system, but also risk. Because maybe you don't graduate, or maybe, you don't make as much income as you should. Maybe you underperform. But that should be their risk to take, too. Right? 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
What do you want to discuss now? My favorite color?
Woo-hoo. I know you can barely hear it, but that was Andrew McKay getting introduced at Wahoo Stadium to play softball on Saturday. I know it's barely here. I'll just play it one more time real without the music. Yay!
Who was the hoo-hoo there?
Okay. That your wife? No, that was me. That was me yelling. Oh. That was on my own phone. I was recording it. Okay, so here's the background. Michelle Salzman recruited me to go play a softball game, Celebrities versus Military, on Saturday, and she recruited me months ago. And I thought, oh, good, a recreational softball game. I haven't played softball in years. I used to play in the church league softball. And I was always, like, pretty good for co-ed church league softball, which means, compared to real softball players, terrible. But I could play shortstop on a co-ed church league. And this is like 20 years ago, okay, when, you know, legs were strong and arm was strong. Anyway, but I thought, okay, fine. Michelle's going to play. I'm going to play. It's a co-ed, fun, whatever, no big deal. Well, I get there, and no. These are not celebrities. These are celebrity softball players, like pro softball players. Like, they have bats named after them. They have endorsement deals with Louisville Slugger. They are, like, the guys who in batting practice are hitting the left field wall or over at a baseball stadium at the Wahoos.
And here's Andrew.
And they're all a foot taller than I am and, like, big dudes, right? You know, some of them have, like, mechanic bodies and some of them have athletic bodies. And I'm like, oh, dear Jesus. You know? I hope I don't get hurt, you know? Like, and I am way out of my league. And Jordan Glass from our sister station, Cat Country, is also there. And we are both, like, we are the radio celebrities playing with the big boys, okay? So they expect absolutely nothing out of me, and I didn't even know if I was even going to get in the field to play or anything, you know, whatever. Well, I go up to bat the first time, you know, and it's terrible. And then they offer, you know, Ron man offers me, hey, you want to go out in the field? And I'm like, sure, yeah, I'll go in the field. And he's like, right field, which is where you put your worst player. That's the right choice, okay? Like, the entire infield was all, like, majors at pro play. Anyway, Adron Chambers, the World Series champion, is playing right field. So I have to go relieve Adron. He's a super nice guy. Anyway, so up to bat, first ball that the right-handed batter gets, and he pokes it to right field. In a 20-25-mile-an-hour wind, it was crazy wind blowing around. So this ball is knuckling like crazy.
Well, Andrew's got him a spot in the lineup now every year.
Because?
Oh, there's a shot to right field. We just put Andrew McCabe out there. And he makes the catch!
What? You it was did?
It was a circus catch. I went left, I went right, I went back, I went forward. I'm like, and I finally put my glove on the ball and made the catch.
We need video of this.
No, there is a video out there. So Ron says I got, you know, a spot in next year's game. I'll come back to this in a second because it's kind of fun. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Still dealing with that accident that happened on Mobile Highway and West 9 Mile Road. They're trying to get it off to the side of the road, but we're still seeing, if you're headed eastbound on Mobile Highway, you're going to see those delays approaching 9 Mile Road. Other than that, I-10's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You ever watch somebody in the outfield make a catch such an adventure that you're just relieved they caught it?
Yes.
That was me. It was not a great catch.
I've got to see the video.
It was a great catch given my level of incompetence, okay? And they were all high-fiving me. And then they put me right up to bat immediately after that, which I had not bat. And it was terrible. I grounded out. It was awful. I got up to bat again. Another ground out. Terrible. 90-foot base is a long way to run in softball, by the way.
It is.
Okay. So then what happens is in the eighth inning, last inning, bottom of the eighth inning, we're tied. We got a man on first, I think. Yeah, first. And they actually intentionally walked the guy in front of me, okay? Somehow or other, it wound up being that they intentionally walked him because they knew I was coming up.
Austin's, I guess you call that a pitch out?
Yeah.
Weak sauce, Austin Jessup.
Yeah, they intentionally walked the guy in front of me thinking I'm going to be terrible, which is a good bet. It's a good bet. But then...
Let's see what happens here. Andrew gets a hit!
What?
Andrew McCabe gets a big hit!
Andrew McCabe. They called me Andrew McCabe. It was funny. Andrew McCabe gets a hit, so bases are loaded.
Was it T-ball? Is that what you were playing?
Anyway, I got a hit. Bases loaded. One out. I'm at first, okay? So then...
Bases are loaded. Bottom of the eight.
We're tied. One out.
Andrew McCabe, huge catch in the outfield.
Yes, sir.
Huge hit in the bottom of the eighth, bases loaded. Looks like the veterans are trying to bring their offense in or their defense in. Matt gets under that one just a little bit. Is that going
to
score him?
Pop to short right.
Is that going
to
score him? Okay, well, now we got a pickle. Andrew McCabe didn't realize.
Oh. No.
There we go. We ended up scoring a run. Okay, I'm not sure what just happened. That's only two.
So here's what happened. I tagged and went because the guy in front of me tagged and went, and the guy at third tagged and went, but they were both bluffing and I didn't realize it. So I got to second and there was a guy there. So the guy at third didn't go. They threw back to first to try to double me off, but the guy at third took off for home, which is part of the chaos. And he got home first. We won the game. And I didn't make a mistake. I tagged up.